Well, it is a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to have that assurance of where we're going to spend eternity. And with great provision comes great responsibility, great privilege, brings great responsibility for all of us. And I think of how the message of Paul, how he shared the good news, you know, how he said at the beginning of Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What does gospel mean? Good news. I'm not ashamed of this good news of the gospel. And he said, I'm a debtor. I have this sense of responsibility that because I've received this good news and it's changed my life, I have an obligation. I'm a debtor to everybody that I possibly can to wisely share this good news with them. And then he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. And then I'm not ashamed. In other words, I know that there's power in the gospel. Will everyone repent and receive the gospel? No. But that doesn't make the gospel weak, because those who don't avail themselves of it, that's their responsibility. But for all who will come, there is power in the gospel to change people. And so he said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. And I think of it being springtime here and how it is time to be planting seed. Have some of you seen neighbors you haven't seen for a few months? Anybody? My neighbors are out in their yard, you know. I'm seeing them every time I go out. I see one of my neighbors out in his yard all the time. And so you start to connect. You start to reconnect with some people that maybe you haven't seen in a while. And I think of the privilege we have to know the truth, to be praying for non-believers who haven't yet come to faith, for God to work in their hearts, praying by name. And then as God answers prayer, we see somebody where they're open to a friendship, they're open to a relationship, that we can pursue that and we can be ready to act upon that and to plant seed into their heart and into their life that God can cause to grow. I'm reminded again that planting the seed starts right in the home. It starts with the family unit. And I read an account from the Finnish-Russian War of 7 captured Russian soldiers who were sentenced to death by the Finnish army. And the night before they were to be shot, one of the soldiers began singing this song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And somebody asked him, why are you singing that song? And he answered very tearfully that about 3 weeks earlier, he had heard a group of Salvation Army soldiers 3 weeks earlier singing this song. And it brought back memories in his mind that as a boy, he had a Christian mother and she would talk to him about Jesus. She talked to him about scripture. She told him about God. She sang songs to him. But he, even as a little boy, hardened his heart and he wouldn't accept Jesus Christ. But that previous night, as he was contemplating his execution, that these were his last hours on this earth, he remembered the face of his mother loving him, talking to him about Christ, the hymns she had sung, the words of scripture that she had taught him long ago. And he testified unashamedly before his fellow prisoners who were going to be executed, and even before his captors, that he had prayed that night before to Jesus Christ. And he had asked Jesus Christ to forgive his sins and to come into his life and prepare him to be ready to meet God. And he was not ashamed to confess that he had that peace that God had forgiven him. And so all these fellow prisoners and even the guards were very moved. And the night before the execution, they spent praying, a number of them. And so there were some tears and talking about spiritual things and singing of hymns. And in the morning before the 7 were shot, they asked to be able to sing one more time that song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And they were allowed to do that. Well, at least one of the other Russian soldiers confessed Christ and trusted Christ that night also to be his Savior. And in addition to that, the Finnish officer in charge said this, quote, "What happened in the hearts of the others, I don't know. But I was a new man from that hour. I had met Christ in one of his loveliest and youngest disciples, and I had seen enough to realize that I too could be his." God works. God works through the way we live our lives. Seed planted even in young hearts of little boys and girls in the home. That's where the gospel starts, isn't it? We're sharing the gospel every day by how we live our lives, by what we say, by what we do. And sometimes that seed comes forth early, and sometimes it's years later. But God is faithful. God is faithful to make that seed grow. As we water it and plant it, it's God who makes it grow. And so I wanted to just talk with you a little bit more tonight and then again next week about this thing of fishing for men. And many of you know I love to go fishing. I know a lot of you enjoy that also. And that was an analogy that Jesus used, isn't it? He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So someone has wisely said, if you're not fishing, you're not following. Okay, well, in a sense, I guess you could say, if you're not fishing, you're not fully following. You may be following him in other areas, but this is an area God wants us to follow. God wants us to take the attitude. One of my lifelong commitments is going to be, I'm going to fish for men. I'd love to catch big fish, but far more important than that, I'd love to see people come to know Christ. And I want God to use me. And as you pray about that and pray for God to equip you and give you boldness, give you a love for people, this is not a matter of personality or that only certain people are gifted to do this. This is something that all of us are called to be fishers of men. Jesus didn't say this to just a few people. He said this openly. If you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he will be with you and he will give you power to be witnesses. Now, this was a message of the coming of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, to all believers. It wasn't to a select few. And so sometimes we look at certain personality types and we say, man, that person, they're just so outgoing and they just have the gift of gab and they can go do that. Well, that's great if they have that personality and they can go do that. But you know what? There's people God will use you to reach that person would never reach. You see, we're all to be fishers of men. We're all to be following Jesus. And in following him, we're concerned about people who don't know Jesus. We're praying by name for people. We're looking for God to bring people across our path with whom we can build a relationship, a friendship, and then talk to them about Christ. Now, in fishing, I have learned how not to catch fish. I mean, we have a cabin up in Canada. We knew zero about fishing. You know, my dad, we'd go to a cabin once a year and we'd throw out a line. And if we ever caught anything, it was pure dumb luck because we didn't know a clue. We didn't have a clue what we're supposed to do except, you know, maybe a hook and a worm. And if some dumb fish came by, we'd catch it, you know. But, you know, the real fishermen, they work at it. You know, they study the temperature of the water and what lures to use at what time and what season. And they really get into it. And it was interesting. A guy in our church took me out walleye fishing and they showed the picture here in church. I caught this fish that I never dreamed I'd catch one like that. And it was about a 30 and a half inch walleye, just this beautiful big fish. You know how I caught that is because I was with a real fisherman. He was the guy putting the right things on the hook and knowing exactly he had the boat, he had the technology. I just got to go along and catch the fish. And so it helps sometimes to go with people who really know what they're doing. But that big one we caught on, he just happened to say, you know, I'm going to switch out the color on that one lure. And he put a different color on it. And that was the one. He had about six lures out there all at one time trolling. And that was the one that fish hit on. What my illustration is to help us think through is this. If all you know is a hook and a worm, and that's still about all I know, okay, I'm still learning a little bit at a time. You can catch fish on a hook and a worm. We figured out up in Canada, we were just catching these rock bass, and they're okay, but they're not great. But there's some smallmouth bass out there that are huge. And we figured out over time that with a hook and a worm and a weight takes it down to the bottom, the big fish are down at the bottom. And with a hook and a worm, we've caught some big bass. We've caught, Cheryl's caught 20, 21 inch. We've caught 22 inch bass. I mean, the steaks on those things are thick and they're fresh water and we like it. We love it. We eat it. So, you know what? If all you know is a hook and a worm, you can catch fish. You don't have to know everything to get out and just have a great time. And obviously, if you can learn a little bit more, you learn a little bit more. How about fishing for men? Sure. The more you talk to people, the more you're going to learn wise ways to get into conversations. You're going to have more than one thing in your tackle box the more you talk to people. But don't be afraid to use a hook and a worm. Don't be afraid to just use the simple gospel. That's what saves people. It's not our great techniques. It's God's grace taking the word of God to bring people to repentance and faith. And for you to realize, God can use me. I don't have to know everything. I just need to know the good news and have a love for people and have a plan for how I'm going to share the gospel. If you have no plan, you know the old saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So if you sit back and say, oh, I just don't know how to do it and I'll never be able to do it, then you probably will never go fishing. But go out and go fishing and realize that it's God who brings the increase. And so that's what I wanted to encourage us tonight. A lot of the things that we've learned through the Share Jesus Without Fear are very applicable with this same heartbeat of loving people and using the exchange approach in winning people to Christ. God is honored if you use the bridge track, if you use the Share Jesus Without Fear approach, if you use the Romans Road, if you use the exchange. All of these are simply a plan of presenting the basic gospel that we're all sinners, that Christ died for us and rose again, and that we need to trust him. That's the simple gospel. And so you use scripture and illustrations to help people understand that gospel. Now, one of the things I'm really appreciating about the exchange approach is that it puts an emphasis on taking some time with people to really understand that God is holy and God is just. And I think that is a great need for that. And I like that approach of taking a little more time with people and a little more in depth with people, because a lot of people hear the good news that God loves them, but it just rolls off their back like water off a duck, because there's really no conviction. They have no sense that God's holy and that they've offended a holy God and that they even need Jesus. And they have no sense that God is just and that he will not overlook sin. And that until people realize these aspects of God, talking all day long about God's love for them may or may not really impact their life. Because without conviction, there's no conversion. And without repentance, there's no regeneration. Until the heart sees the need, they're not likely to be hungry for the solution. And so one of the things I've appreciated with the Way of the Master, that's another evangelism training program that takes the same simple gospel and kind of puts ideas there for you to get a handle on how you could talk to somebody, a teenager talking with another teenager, a boy or girl talking with another boy or girl, a senior citizen, doesn't matter our age and every gender, people need the Lord. And so I like the little acrostic that we learned in Share Jesus Without Fear. Of first, you got to build a relationship with somebody and get to know them. And so F-I-R-E, ask questions. People love to talk about what interests them. And so F, talk about their family. Tell me a little bit about your family. Get to know who they are, where they're coming from. Family. Most people like to talk about family. After you've built some kind of a bond on some other areas, now you can start to talk about relational things. I, interests. What are things they like to do? What are their hobbies? What's fun? What do they do on their day off? And see if you can find some common ground. R, religious background. Now that starts to shift the discussion a little bit more towards spiritual things. Tell me a little bit about your religious background. Have you had a smattering of lots of different things? Have you had not really much religious background? Get to know where they're coming from. And then the E, F-I-R-E, exploratory questions. Now you're going to ask where they are in their relationship with God in a wise way. And there's a lot of different questions you can use. Find what you're going to be comfortable with. Tonight, I'm going to suggest to you, a lot of you, as you came in, You were handed, or it's out there on that table, a printed out copy of this exchange gospel tract. Who didn't get one of these? Would you raise your hand? Okay. All right. Could our ushers get one of these to the ones who have their hand up? Just keep your hand up high and they'll bring one right down to you. I'm going to tonight be focusing on how you can use this little exchange track as a tool. Whether or not you went to the exchange training, you could use this exchange track as a way to share the good news with lost people. We got somebody over here still and one down here. Anybody else? Just raise your hand high. We got one down here. We've got one back there. Great. Anybody else? This tonight, I'm not saying this is the only way to do it. There's lots of ways to do it. I've used the bridge track. I've used the Romans Road. I've used Share Jesus Without Fear. But here's another tool to put in your toolbox and find a tool that you can be comfortable with. And you can say, you know, I can use that. I'm praying for people who'd have an open heart. And when God brings them across my path, I'm on go. My tackle box is ready and I'm ready to go fishing. And so use a gospel track as a tool. Now, some of you may have been in the exchange and you may have said, oh, man, there was all this stuff to memorize. There's no way I could retain it all. Guess what? You don't have to retain it all. It's all in the little tracks that we're going to have for you. There's two little tracks, and we're ordering them right now. You've got a copy of the shortest one, the simplest one. That's all it is. You can just stick that in your pocket, and that's what we're going to go over tonight. You can use that to plant the seed of the gospel in somebody's heart. Now, if you have a little more time to go in more depth, you could use this second track that we're going to keep in the track rack, and this one's called How Would You Describe Your Relationship with God? It's one sheet printed out and folded. This one's a little booklet, but it's the same size. And it's God's exchange for you. And this one goes into more depth. It has more verses and more amplification. But both of these are a tool you could easily use. If you had this in your pocket, your back pocket, you had somebody you're praying for, you stick it in there. I try to carry tracks every day when I get up. I've asked my wife, don't buy me any more shirts without a pocket. I want a pocket right here because I just want to be ready to go fishing. And Paul didn't pass out gospel tracts. It was all verbal. Okay. And so you can witness to people without a tract. But for many of us, a tract's a great helpful thing. There's a lot of material to learn in the exchange. You won't remember it all. You're like me. Some of you with the photographic mind, you got it, okay? But others of you, you're like me, you got parts of it, okay? Now, if you've got a little tool like this, it brings it all back. Because you just read this right out loud with the person, if you get a live one, okay? If you get somebody who's interested and open, you just read it right out loud with them and discuss it with them. Realizing it's not my persuasion to save anybody, it's not my power, it's the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God working in the heart of the person. God does the saving. My part is sharing the good news so they can hear, because they can't believe if they don't hear. And I want to be available to help them hear the gospel. They're not going to hear it from an unsaved person. It's going to take a saved person who is praying for them. And I want to be that kind of a Christian who's praying for unsaved people. So here are two tools. We're going to talk about this tool tonight, the simplest one, the shortest version of it. Here's another tool. We're keeping these in the church office, and we went over this as a church on Sunday nights. This is if you get somebody who you're being Spirit-led, and we had one of our men jokingly say, I'm on a plane a lot with work. And so Dow or Dow Corning or my company's paying the bill to fly me all over the world. God calls me to be a fisherman. I want to become a fly fisherman. Whenever I'm up there flying, I'm going to have some tracks. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to open up a conversation. And if it goes down the right path, I'm going to plant the seed. Wow, that's exciting. That's exciting to think people could be saved from all over the world just because God is moving you all over the world and letting you plant seed. So this is for when you find somebody and maybe you're never going to get another chance to talk to them. And on a one sit down occasion, you'd like to be able to lead someone to Christ. Maybe you'll have what I had 3 weeks ago. The young man, I got his permission to tell you this, but 3 weeks ago after the death of his mother, he calls me up on the phone and basically says, can we meet together? When we sit down together, he basically says, I need to get saved. Wow, how do you like that? Wouldn't you just like to have somebody come to you and say, I want to get saved. Could you help me? No, that means you need to be ready. You need to be ready to do that. And we'd just gone through the exchange training. And so I shared with him basically what we're going to start sharing a little bit tonight with you of how you could use that little track there. You don't have to have it all memorized. You read those truths with them. You explain it to them. And you let God do the work. He was just ready to get saved. And I realized with him, he didn't need the four-lesson Bible study. He was already there. He knew he was a sinner. He was under conviction. And he wanted to get saved. So you need to be prepared to present the gospel and lead somebody to Christ when they want to get saved. On the other hand, a lot of people in your life are not ready to get saved. They have no clue. They live in a materialistic society. If they need something, they put it on a credit card. Of course, it gets hard to pay the bill when it comes, but they live in America. And they don't have a deep sense of having offended a holy God. They don't have a sense that God is just and that people really do go to hell because of sin. They don't even know if they believe the Bible. Now realize you don't have to convince somebody to believe the Bible because it's a sword. And you say, somebody says, oh, I don't believe in swords. Well, pull out the sword and just prick them a little bit. And when a little bit of blood trickles down on their shirt, they'll say, you know what? I think I believe in swords. See, and so God doesn't say you don't have to go around defending the Bible. Use the Bible. Quote the scripture. Read the scripture. Tell people what the Bible says and watch God prick their heart. Watch God bring the conviction. Use the scripture. That's how we lead people to Christ. So what I'm suggesting is you just be a spirit-led person. If this is somebody sitting on go and they're saying, what must I do to be saved? Be prepared in one sitting to share the gospel and lead them to Christ. If, on the other hand, like a lot of people in our community, they really don't have a sense of conviction yet, you build a friendship and then you talk to them about how we can know that we have a relationship with God. I would love to do a little four-lesson Bible study with you and just sit down with you for four sessions and study the Bible on how you could have a relationship with God. Would you be open to do that? And if they say yes, that's all the better, because that's going to give time for them to really think about that God is holy, that God is just, and answer and have discussions and questions. And then God's love and God's grace. And in many cases, that's what's going to be needed is a more in-depth approach to it. And it's all laid out here in the booklet. You don't have to do anything except read it aloud with them. The answers are already there. They don't even need a Bible. The answers are in the scriptures, which are printed in the booklet. And the very answers to every question are highlighted. So you don't have to figure it out. All you're going to do is fill in the blanks by taking the highlighted words and putting them into your own words. And so reading and discussing those scriptures with your friend is going to be the tool that God uses to reach their heart. So now you're getting a couple things in your toolbox, in your tackle box. You're getting a hook, you're getting a bobber, you're getting a weight. You got something that you can use to lead someone to Christ on one setting. But you also have a tool to build a relationship with people and have a Bible study on how you can have a relationship with God. And you're going to look, if God will give you a live one who's willing to meet, maybe you're going to meet for breakfast. That's what we're doing. We're on lesson four this Tuesday morning at Bob Evans, and it's on go. And we're going to have our fourth lesson. And I'm thankful both the young men that we're talking with, one has just recently accepted Christ. The other one accepted Christ within the last year. And so we're going through these materials. This is what I wanted to kind of get you thinking about tonight, how you can be equipped and on go and ready to be a fisher of men. Now let me take us from here to this little track that you have in front of you. If you will notice on this little track, if you did nothing more than follow the outline of this track, and remember now, this is the abbreviated version. There's one with even more depth to it if you had more time that you could use. But I think this is a simple one, and it's something you could use as a tool. Let's just look at this little track. You'll realize it's printed out so that the cover of it is on the one page, but the track actually starts on the other sheet, okay? It says relationship with God. That's actually the second sheet we're going to look at. Let's look at the sheet, the other sheet. And it starts with that title. The title is having a relationship with God. And that's all you need to remember. With the F-I-R-E, the E exploratory question is this. Relationship. Just ask them questions about relationship with God. Hey, in your opinion, what does it take to have a relationship with God? How do you feel about your relationship with God? Do you know 100% for sure that all your sins are forgiven and that if you died, you'd be in heaven with God? Do you know that for sure? And if so, if they say yes, what are you trusting in? But relationship's the key, and that's the title on the track. All you got to do is remember that word and ask questions, and you'll see right there at the beginning on this page that we're looking at, you can read it right out loud. Some relationships are warm and growing, while others are cold and distant. How would you describe your relationship with God? There's your exploratory question. You don't even have to have it memorized. It's right there. Carry this little thing in your pocket, and the second sentence is your question. Ask them. After you've gotten to know them with the F-I-R-E, hey, tell me a little bit about your relationship with God. How would you describe it? And then, after the whatever that answer is, your next question is this. May I show you from the Bible what the Bible says about how you can have a relationship with God? If they say no, you're not any further away than you were when you began. You can say, well, I would be honored if you would consider just keeping this. And if you ever should have an interest in that, read this over and leave the track with them. If they say yes, yeah, I'd be interested. Then what you're going to do is you're going to just read this little track right out loud with them and discuss it with them. And you and I can do that. That's not something of a whole ton of memory. I don't know what I'm going to say next. All you're going to do is read this little tract with them and discuss it. So let's start. Number one, God is holy and cannot tolerate our sin. And so we read with them the Old Testament verse that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. He cannot look on sin, from Habakkuk. You can use some of the techniques you've learned in other presentations, like Share Jesus, and ask them, what does that verse say to you? What do you think that means? Get into a little bit of a discussion, because then you begin to see if they're understanding, if it's making sense to them. And they may have some questions. I saw a young man who's coming and meeting with Pastor Mark once a week, and they're doing Bible study together. And he says, oh, man, I love meeting with Pastor Mark. They get through about one page of this book every time they meet. This guy is coming from a background, doesn't know a thing about God or the Bible. And so they'll read one verse and they'll have a 20-minute discussion because he's got a million questions. That's okay. That's okay. Because we want people to understand. And so what you're going to do is you're just going to go through this and read it right out loud with them and discuss it and have a little bit of a discussion. Remember, to have discussion, you got to ask what? What am I asking? Questions, okay? So you're going to ask questions. What does that verse say to you? What do you think that means? Does this make sense to you? You know, a lot of times we think, man, I got to have all this stuff memorized. No, you can just read the scriptures and ask questions and let the Holy Spirit work on that person's heart. And so you can read on right through in the tract there. God's law is a reflection of his holy nature. Every time we break one of his laws, we offend him. This puts us in a dilemma because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's standard is perfection. We all fall short of his perfect standard. Now, for each of these points, there's an illustration. And once you understand the illustration, it's easy to talk about it. You don't have to have it memorized. The illustration for this one is the flagpole. And so the illustration is mentioned right there. Imagine two people trying to touch the top of a 40-foot flagpole. So now you just talk to them. You say, all right, put this picture in your mind. Here's a 40-foot flagpole. Have you ever dunked a basketball? Some people can say yes. A few of you out there can say yes. In my dreams. All right. Well, you can dunk a basketball. Can you touch the top of a 40-foot flagpole by jumping? Well, no, I can't do that. I fall short. That's exactly what the Bible means when it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people can jump higher than other people, but everybody falls short. And that's where then you just talk about the Ten Commandments and the law. Thou shalt not covet is a hard attitude. Honor your mother and father. You shouldn't steal or lie. You know what? We've all broken many of these laws. We all fall short. And in God's eyes, that makes us a sinner. We're separated from a holy God. God must punish sin. And that gets into the second point, God is just. Now, we're going to pick up on this next week. And we're going to talk some more about how to do this. But let me give you a little assignment. This week, you've got your hand out there. Take it home and just start to practice a little bit. Practice with your mom or your dad or brother or sister or your friend. Of one person, be the unsaved person who doesn't know anything about Jesus. And if you can, you can have fun with it. You know, let that person ask all kinds of questions, you know. Or you can have them, hey, I want to do the easy version today. Don't give me a hard time. Just go along with it. And practice just talking through this little plan of salvation laid out with the verses. God is holy. God is just. God is loving and God is gracious. And get these illustrations in your mind. And we'll go over it again next week with more detail of what the illustrations are. I'm going to give you a couple of the illustrations that are in the thicker pamphlet that are not in this. But most of the illustrations are right even in this simple little pamphlet. The thing I want you to get the idea is this. Somebody said, if you know where you're going, you can get there if all you have are your 2 feet or a scooter. But if you don't know where you're going, you can't get there even if you've got a Rolls Royce. If you know where you're going, I want to be a fisher of men. I want to help other people be knowing the gospel and coming to faith. Then the tools are there to help you if you've got the burden. If you're praying about it and asking God to use you, God will use you. And we've had a lot of good equipping, but now what the real proof of the pudding is in the doing. That we let this become a lifestyle. That we actually, in our prayer life, are so before God about this that now we start to do it. It becomes a part of our life to share good news with others, to be fishers of men. And so your little assignment is work on that this week. Next week, we'll come back next Sunday night and we'll do a little role play of what that looks like. And I'll let you do a little role play and just have some fun with it, that this is something any of us as believers can do. The tools are here. And as we figure out how to be fishers of men, God is more than desirous to use us. Because that was the promise of Jesus. He would send the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. The Holy Spirit came to live in every believer. The Holy Spirit wants to use you to be a witness for him. And it's something that's doable. You can become a fisher of men. And so look forward to next week. We'll talk more about this. But this week, chew on this. Some of you have already had the training and you know right where we're going. But you're also praying about, now how do I put this into effect? I can't remember that whole outline, but I've got some tools here that will bring that basic message right back to my mind and something I can walk through with people and I can actually use this. And so we're looking forward to letting God use this as a tool to equip us to plant a lot of seed. I've noticed in my backyard, grass seed doesn't grow that I never plant. It just doesn't grow till I plant it. And I want God to use me. I know you want God to use you to plant seed in the hearts of people and to see it grow. And there's no greater joy than to see the fruit and the life that God brings through the power of the gospel.